Hello, everyone.
Hi.
It's us, and we're back.
We are your hosts of Catnaps and Cognac. I am Ariel.
And I'm Dee Dee, and this is episode 75.
Yay, 75 and feeling fine. 75. Yeah.
That's right. So if you are a return listener, thank you so much for coming back and catching up with us. And if this is your first time listening, we hope you will go back. Or thank you for coming, and we hope that you'll go back and listen to the other 74 episodes.
74 and ready for more.
74.
Oh, Lord.
So, how are you, Ari?
You know what? I'm not too shabby. How are you, Dee Dee?
I'm fantastically well. I'm over here sipping on some Trader Joe's two-buck chuck.
That nasty two-buck chuck.
That nasty two-buck chuck. It's delicious.
Ooh.
I just, apparently there was an article that was written on, or a post on Huffington Post about Trader Joe's wine and the guy who owns the vineyards, and the reason why it's $2 is because it's the grapes are overripe and machines pick them. They're not hand-picked, and it picks up rodents and birds and insects, and then they all get juiced together. Well, you know what? These rodents, birds, and insects taste delicious.
Delicious.
Delicious. I love it. I love it. Y'all are always trying to mess something up for somebody.
Always.
Gosh.
Can never have nothing.
Jeez. Anyway. Should we get into the show?
Uh-huh.
All right, let's get into the show. All right, so it's current events. So I saw a tweet not too long ago, maybe the day before today, maybe yesterday or the day before yesterday, and the headline read, New Jersey hospital charges man nearly $9,000 to bandage cut finger.
What?
Crazy, right?
Uh-uh.
So, a New Jersey hospital charged a teacher nearly $9,000 to put a bandage on his middle finger. And this was investigated by the NBC4 New York I-Team. Last August, Bear Hanzuk Rajowski of Bayonne accidentally cut his finger with the claw end of a hammer. He says he waited a few days for it to heal, but the cut didn't seem to be closing. So he went to the Bayonne Medical Center emergency room to ask whether he should get stitches. The nurse practitioner determined no stitches were necessary, he says, and there was no x-ray either. Instead, Mr. Rajowski got hit with an $8,200 bill for the emergency room visit. On top of that, the Bayonne Medical Center charged $180 for a tetanus shot, $240 for sterile supplies, and $8 for some antibacterial ointment, in addition to hundreds of dollars for the services of the nurse practitioner.
Gracious.
In total, the bill was nearly $9,000.
No.
And he says, I got a Band-Aid and a tetanus shot. How could it be $9,000? This is crazy.
That's insane. Take me to jail. I'm sorry. Take me to jail.
Please cart me off to jail. Because and he said, if I severed a limb, I'd carry it to the next emergency room in the next city before I go back to this place.
I mean, shit. All hospitals are the same at this point.
Right.
You better go to the swamp doctor or something like that, the witch doctor, and have them stitch you up because, shit. Damn.
And he didn't even get any damn stitches. They gave him some cream and a bandage.
I mean, was that at least a SpongeBob band-aid or what?
Good night. This is crazy. See, and this is a problem. You know, you go to the doctor and you get these procedures done. Like, I mean, we've had this conversation before, but I've looked at my claims from when my insurance, you know, I put in a claim in the insurance, and I look at what it was supposed to cost me as opposed to what I paid as far as my copay, and it is mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. You know, the healthcare system, it's a racket. That's what it is. It's one big old racket.
completely. I mean, ugh. You know what? I just can't. I can't. Which country's gonna take me?
Right. You know what? So, I was in Toronto last weekend, and I was speaking to one of the locals, and he was saying how in Toronto, no matter if you're low income, high income, who cares, if you have a child, the government gives you $200 a month for that per child.
Wow, the government gives you child support?
Yes, $200 a month. Married, single, doesn't matter. You get $200 per month per child. And when you have three children and you're low income, they have like a Section 8 type housing program. Mm-hmm. And then when you have five children and you're low income, you get the government gets you a car.
Wow.
Wild. Just crazy. And so then I was looking up the average household income, and it's about $65,000. So if you're $45,000, you're low income.
Really?
Per annum.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, you're low income at $45,000. Here, that's, I mean, not to say that's big money in New York City. However, that's big money in other places.
Definitely.
$45,000. That's definitely not low income in the United States of America. And the dollar, the Canadian dollar, is worth 92 cents. So we're really not that far off. It's almost dollar to dollar.
Right. Come on, man. Every episode, we're like, we hate America. We hate you, America.
Get me out of here.
Get me out. This is not the land of the free.
Come on, America. Let's do a little better.
Please, please. Think of the children. Canada is.
And think of this man who only had a cut on his finger and y'all charging him $9,000.
Ugh, unbelievable.
Crazy. Crazy. What do we have up next?
Well, I mean, it's not any much better. Ugh. But bed bugs are back.
Ugh, gross.
They were found on the N train.
Yeah.
And it turns out that they were found on the seat cushions in the cabs that are used by the conductors and the motormen. So they weren't actually on the seats that the riders use.
Yeah. Okay.
But they were still on the train. So they were found on three trains, and it seems like they've been fumigated and taken care of. But, like, still the thought of bed bugs on the train, like, that's within ass reach, and that's not cute.
Right.
And it says that, during the height of the city's bed bug pandemic, that bed bugs were discovered nestled in the wooden benches in multiple subway stations.
Bed bugs are gross.
They're actually disgusting.
Yeah, and I mean, to think that they can live in wooden stuff, I thought they only lived on like cloth.
Well, apparently not.
That's disgusting. Ew. Ew.
So, yeah, it also said that, a year later, and I think this was probably in like 2009, 2010, a video surfaced that showed a bed bug riding the R train, and bed bugs were also spotted in a Park Slope token booth. Reports of bed bug infestations have declined since 2010, but this N-train incident suggests that they've just shifted their focus underground. Now, I don't know about you, but I definitely heard that there were bed bugs in, like, the AMC theater.
Yeah, recently. I remember that. I was here in 2010. I was here visiting, and everybody came to the movie theaters with garbage bags.
I'm talking about this year.
Oh, no, I haven't heard that about this
year. Yeah, I heard that this year.
Oh, no. Yeah, in 2010, I remember people were like, oh, if you're going to the movies, make sure you bring a garbage bag to sit, to wrap your chair in.
That's crazy. I'm gonna just get the bootleg.
I was like, I'm not going to no goddamn movie if I had to do all of that.
Right.
That's gross.
This is disgusting. But, this is coming from Gothamist, and they said, in short, there's no escape. Bed bugs will come carry us all away one by one to their underground blood harvesting colonies. All aboard the FML train to Parasite Station, we can all hope All we can hope for is that it doesn't run local the entire way. That was cute and disgusting.
It is disgusting. Gross.
Yeah. So, I have one more thing. Technically, it's not like a current event, but this is something that we've kind of discussed before. Well, you'll see when we talk about it. There's a new robot called Jibo, and it says it's the world's first family robot. And this woman, this Dr. Cynthia Breezel, she came up with it. She's a social robotics pioneer. And she started an Indiegogo. And what it does, it's like this little, I don't know, it looks like, I can't even describe it, but it's a little robot, and pretty much it can deal with anything in your home. It can read your emails for you, it can unlock your doors for you. It's like complete artificial intelligence. It has high-res cameras, it can recognize your faces, take pictures, enable video calling. It works like a personal assistant. It has the microphones. Like, it does so much for you. You can read and tell stories to your children.
The robot is doing all of that?
Yes. Mm-mm. Yes. It does all of that. Like, it's freaky. I personally think it's freaky. I don't want anything to do with this Jibo.
Me either.
But it looks like Dr. Cynthia, she started the Indiegogo, and her goal was $100,000, but she's raised almost $1.5 million.
Wow, to make this robot.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yep. Yep, and it starts off at $500, and it says it has a targeted 2015 ship date, and yeah, you get one Jibo Home Edition. And, yeah, like, everything else after that is, like, an add-on to the Jibo.
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, we talk a lot about, I don't say we talk a lot about it, but we've definitely talked about, like, Google being the Antichrist and everything like that. So this definitely reminds me of that. Like, it sounds like the movie Her and Terminator and all that, like, rolled into one, and I don't want any part of it.
No, me neither. No thanks.
Like, whatsoever.
I can read my own emails, I can unlock my own doors, I can read my children.
Right?
I'm sorry. Like, what?
Well, apparently it was featured on Yahoo News, thanks to Katie Kirk, and she said, Jibo's potential extends far beyond engaging in casual conversation and completing daily tasks. And someone from Mashable said it isn't an appliance. It's a companion, one that can interact and react with its human owners in ways that delight instead of disturb.
I'm disturbed. I'm not delighted.
Completely disturbed.
Yeah, I don't delight in this at all.
No. They have like a whole... Okay, I'm going to play the YouTube clip. Hold on one second.
This is your house. This is your clock.
Are you listening?
This is your toothbrush. These are your things. But these are the things that matter. And somewhere in between is this guy. Introducing Jibo, the world's first family robot. Say hi, Jibo.
Hi, Jibo.
Jibo helps everyone out throughout their day. He's the world's best camera man. By intelligently tracking the action around him,
nope,
he can independently take video and photos so that you can put down your camera. Be a part of the scene.
Jibo, take the picture.
He's a hands-free helper. You can talk to him, and he'll talk to you back, so you don't have to skip a beat.
Excuse me, Anne?
Yes, Jibo.
Melissa just sent a reminder that she's picking you up in half an hour to go grocery shopping.
Thanks, Jibo.
He's an entertainer and educator. Through interactive applications, Jibo can teach.
Let me in, or else I'll...
Huh.
And I'll...
Huh.
And I'll blow your house in.
Hey, where'd you go? There you are.
He's the closest thing to a real-life teleportation device. He can turn and look at whoever you want, with a simple tap of your finger.
Check out my turkey dinner, Mom.
Maybe she wouldn't eat that.
Hey, they made turkey pizza. I want turkey pizza.
And he's a platypus. So his skills...
All right, I'm done. You see how... You hear how crazy that sounds?
It sounds ridiculous.
Not into it. I'm not into it.
Neither am I. I don't want any parts of it.
Especially with the fact that they're reading to the kids. And what happens in the commercial is, like, she made, like, a little fort with the blanket on top. And the blanket somehow falls down, and it falls over Jibo. And he was like, hey, where are you? That's why he was saying, where are you? And I'm right here. Like, no.
Okay, Jibo.
No.
I don't even like the name of it.
Yeah, I don't... I'm not sure if it stands for anything. I can't tell from here, but,
Sounds weird.
Yeah. It's very weird.
I'm not here for it. No. You know what? I'm going as far as Siri and my interactions with robots right now. That's it. Like, because, I mean, Siri's telling you happy birthday. You ask
Siri what time tells you happy birthday?
Yeah, she tells you happy birthday.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Happy birthday, and if you ask her, do you know who you are? She's like, of course I know who you are, Dee Dee.
Wow.
Why did you ask me that? That's enough as far as, like, interactions with, computers. Like, I think we can do things on our own. We'll be good.
I know. It's like, why?
Why are we so damn lazy?
Why are we so damn lazy? Why can't you reach your own child?
I mean, that... Out of all the things, why can't you reach your own child?
Like, bruh. Anywho, well, that's all I have for somewhat current events.
All right, well, we're going to move on.
Yeah.
And we're moving on to Today I Learned.
Yes.
We know you guys love this segment, because that's the one segment that people always tell us that they really super love, is Today I Learned, because we teach you guys things. So today, I learned why we yawn.
Why do we yawn?
Why do we yawn? Babies, dogs, cats, birds, mice, rats, and even snakes yawn, and some of us were even doing it in the womb. Although for thousands of years the reason has remained elusive, recent scholarship may have uncovered the truth as to why we yawn. And now I feel like I have to yawn just talking about it. When a person yawns, the stretching of the powerful jaw muscles increases blood flow in the head, neck, and face, and also sends cerebrospinal fluid downward away from the brain. Likewise, during a yawn, the walls of the sinuses flex, and when combined with the wide opening of your gaping maw, together they draw large quantities of air in through the nasal cavities, mouth, and sinus passages. So there are three main theories as to why people yawn. And the first one is yawning increases blood oxygen levels. Because it draws in large quantities of air, many people have reasonably theorized that yawning's purpose is to draw in more oxygen and exhale more CO2. And this tenet of conventional wisdom, however, has absolutely no objective evidence to support it. In fact, in 1987, there was a study, and it was shown that yawning neither increased nor decreased when oxygen and carbon dioxide levels were increased. This has caused some scientists to conclude that yawning has nothing to do with oxygenating the blood. So here's the second one. Yawning stimulates and aids in arousal. And I feel like this is probably the one that I think is the most plausible. It has been noted that across species, yawning appears to happen in anticipation of important events and during behavioral transitions. That yawning facilitates a heightened state of alertness and awareness is also supported by evidence of yawning accompanying changes in neurotransmitter and endocrine levels. And the reason why I feel like this is probably the one that is most plausible is because we yawn when we're tired. And if we're awake and we're yawning, that's your body's way of trying to keep you awake, or, you know, trying to keep you alert as much as you can because you're not doing anything, you're feeling sleepy or whatever. Let's yawn really quick and stimulate, you know, your neurotransmitters to make them wake up, to try to wake you up. And also, you yawn when you're hungry. And this thing says that it's during behavioral transition. So when you're hungry and you want something to eat and you're feeling sluggish and lethargic because you need some food, here's a yawn to try to help you to, while you walk down the block to go to 7-Eleven to go get that sandwich, here's a quick yawn to make sure that you don't drop asleep or drop dead before you get to 7-Eleven.
Wow.
So here's the last one. Yawning helps cool the brain's temperature. Recently postulated, the thermoregulatory theory of yawning begins by noting that the brain's temperature is controlled by three factors: the temperature and rate of blood flow and metabolism. Since yawning increases blood flow, it is not unreasonable to hypothesize that its purpose is to cool the brain. And there's some evidence. There was a study that was done, and the first subjects were instructed to breathe either through their nose or through their mouths, and then asked to view videos of others yawning. Those who breathed nasally demonstrated no contagious yawning. In the second experiment, subjects were asked to alternately place either a warm or cold temperature pack on their foreheads and, again, watch videos of people yawning. A whopping 41% of those who had a warm pack on their heads contagiously yawned, while only 9% of those with a cold pack exhibited contagious yawning.
Oh,
thus,
wow.
The researchers concluded that brain cooling played at least a part in yawning. So that's it. These are the reasons why we yawn. And if you are wondering why yawning is so contagious, here's some popular theories as to why yawning is contagious. And it revolves around mimicry and empathy. These are supported by empirical evidence such as that gleaned by taking MRIs, which is a magnetic resonance imaging scan, of the brain while yawning. In one such study, areas involved with processing emotions, both our own and other people's, were activated during yawning. This led researchers to conclude that my capacity to put myself in your shoes is a predictor for my susceptibility to contagiously yawn. It should be noted, however, that yawning is only contagious in about 60 to 70% of the population.
Okay.
So that's why we yawn.
Okay, so I heard about the yawning to cool down the brain, and I also heard about the empathy, but I haven't heard about the other two reasonings.
Yeah. Well, I've also heard about, like, why yawning is contagious is because people are selfish, and so when they see somebody else yawn, they feel that that person is taking up all the oxygen, so your brain says you need to get some oxygen too, so now it's your turn to yawn.
Mm.
So I've heard that as well.
I know I was yawning up a storm today.
So. Oh, man. Were you tired?
Very tired, yes.
Yeah, see? And that was your brain's way of trying to stimulate you, to wake you up.
Well, I stayed awake. I didn't take a nap. So it worked.
I'd be annoyed when I'm yawning and I'm sleepy. I'm like, forget this yawning crap. I'm going to sleep.
Oh, my gosh. I do that all the time. Like, I just want to go to bed right now.
Right. I have three times to yawn, and then I'm like, forget it. I'm going to sleep. That's it. I really do not like yawning. Like, once I yawn, all right. A second one comes. Okay. A third one. All right. I have to go to bed now. I can't do it.
Yeah.
But mainly because my body shuts down anyway. When I'm sleepy, there's not much I can do to stay awake. If I don't get like coffee or a tea or something, or start doing jumping jacks, if I don't do something and I'm just sitting there sedentary and I'm yawning, my body just like, forget it. It's time to go to sleep. There's nothing you can do. You can't wake up. You're going to bed.
I can't function. So like once I find that like I'm yawning a lot, it's just like my brain, I can't read. I don't want to think. It's just like bed, 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 bed. Like that's literally all I think about.
Yeah. My brain just shuts down. It's funny. I laugh at myself. I'm like, oh, I can't do this anymore. Like matter of fact, last night I was twisting my hair and it was like 11:30. And I was yawning while I was twisting my hair. And I got to my third yawn. And I was like, nah, I can do it. I can do it. And I was like, you know what? No, I can't. So I had to take a nap in between twisting my hair.
Oh, my goodness.
I was so tired. I was so tired. I was like, I gotta take a nap. I can't finish the rest of my head. And I was really, I was like halfway done. It probably would have taken me another 20 minutes to finish my hair, but I could not do it.
Wow.
I could not endure the 20 minutes to do my hair. My body was like, you have to go to sleep now.
Goodness.
Yeah, I don't know how y'all, I mean, not veering too far off topic, but y'all people who don't like to sleep, I don't know how y'all do it.
Never.
I do not know how you guys function without sleep. Because my body is not having it.
Mm-mm.
I start to hallucinate, all this other stuff. I can't, mm-mm. They say, you know, psychologists say that, you know, once you've been deprived of 36 hours of sleep, you start to hallucinate. It's much less for me. But once I get to 24 hours without sleep, I'm starting to see things. Like, I'm starting to see things. I'm saying crap. Like, what? Did I just say that? Huh? Who? What? I feel drunk. Forget it. I need to go sleep. I can't do this anymore.
Listen, if I don't take a nap, like, which is, like, almost every day other than the weekends, it's like, I feel like I get this. I feel like I need a nap time.
Yeah.
In between the day. Every day.
Yes. I definitely do feel the fog and the haze. Like, I feel it. Like, I can't think, and my thoughts are not complete. And I'm like, I have a thought that I want to think, but I can't think it because I'm so tired.
Girl, what is this Dr. Seuss wisdom that you are saying right now?
I'm telling you.
all the things you can think, and the sleeps you can sleep.
In sleeps you can sleep, but the thoughts you can thought.
And the beazle buzzle buzzles, and the boozle beazle. Boobs.
I can't do it. I gotta go to sleep. See, look, I probably need to sleep right now. I'm over here talking foolish.
You and me both.
What did you learn today, Ari?
All right, so you know how Coca-Cola is doing this whole, like, share a Coke with so-and-so, and it's, like, labeled on the bottle?
Yeah.
So I have a Coke fact for you, for everyone today.
Oh, great.
So back in the 80s, they had this thing called New Coke. Do you remember New Coke?
No.
Well, it didn't stick around very long. New Coke was removed from the market in 1985 once it was introduced because over 400,000 people called and wrote in saying that it was trash, pretty much.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, it was newer and it was sweeter and people just didn't like it.
Yeah.
So after 3 months of the new Coke, they got rid of it and old Coke was reinstated as Coca-Cola Classic, and everyone was happy again.
Yeah.
So then, a little while after that, Coca-Cola decided, hey, you know what? New Coke didn't work, but let's try another New Coke instead. And they tested it as Coke 2, and it was released in 1992 with the product line. And but that was a complete failure, too, because clearly it's not around anymore.
Right.
And so pretty much we're just learning about Coke 2. And the reason why the company kept trying to introduce these new Cokes was because it was a lot cheaper to manufacture than regular Coke.
Mm.
So, but I guess along with the cheaper product came the cheaper taste and everybody hated it. It said shortly after, and this is from on Mental Floss, but according to the book, The Real Thing, The Truth, and Power at Coca-Cola Company, it says shortly after New Coke was released in targeted markets, Pepsi had their chemists examine the formula. They found that it contained fewer flavored oils and vanilla, and that the new formula would save Coke about $50 million a year because it cut back on some of the most costly ingredients. The different name didn't help. Coke 2 was produced by fewer and fewer bottlers until it was killed off for good in 2002.
What?
Occasionally, unopened bottles will pop up on eBay, but don't bother for buying one for a taste test. Coke 2 tasted just like New Coke, sweet and a little fat. And that's Wait. That.
Where the hell was Coke 2 from 19 whatever the hell to 2002?
That's 10 years.
But did you ever see Coke 2?
I never saw Coke 2.
Like 1985, I was only 3, so I wouldn't remember if there was New Coke. I wouldn't remember that, but I definitely should have remembered Coke 2 since it was still around until 2002.
Right.
That's wild.
Never heard of it.
Never.
But it's just interesting that they tried to introduce this stuff and it didn't. There's been so many different kinds of colas around, like clear Pepsi or Crystal Pepsi.
Clear Pepsi, Crystal Pepsi was my shit. I loved me some Crystal Pepsi. However, it was a lot stickier than regular Pepsi. It was sticky. When you drank it, it was sticky in your throat.
Ooh, that's what she said.
Ooh! Ah! She's nasty. And then, you know, then Coke had their clear soda, which was Tab.
Yeah.
Tab was gross. I hated Tab.
Isn't Tab still around, though?
I don't know. Probably in, like, you know, Milwaukee or some shit. Places where nobody goes. I'm sure they still have Tab there.
Didn't they have Blue Pepsi, too, at one point?
Yes, and that was nasty.
Yeah.
Ugh, that was disgusting.
Yeah. Let's not forget Sprite Remix.
Sprite Remix. I did like the Sprite Remixes. Those were really good. Sprite Remixes, I really liked. And then, have you ever been to the Coca-Cola World?
No.
You definitely have to, whenever you go to Atlanta, you definitely have to go to the Coca-Cola World. It's great. And if you guys haven't gone and you're going to be in Atlanta soon, definitely go down to the Coca-Cola World and make sure you try out the Italian Coke. You have to try that.
Ooh, what's so special about the Italian Coke?
And then once you, it's just a different taste. And once you've had it, please report back to me about the Italian Coke. I want you guys to tell me what you thought about it. However, my favorite Coke, because they have like Coke in Japan and Brazil and stuff like that, it's not like American Coke. Even though the bottle is the same, it does not taste the same. And the Brazilian Coca-Cola was absolutely delicious.
Ooh, I wonder what made it so good.
Guarana. That's what made it so good. I don't know what guarana is. I know that it keeps you awake. It has a lot of caffeine in it. But it is absolutely delicious. There's Brazilian soda is really good. There was this other Brazilian soda that I used to drink. It was just called Guarana. And, you know, it used to keep me and my best friend from middle school. We had another friend who was from Brazil, and her family would always like send us the Brazilian soda, and we could not get enough of it. It was like crack.
Wow.
And that's what it is, the Guarana. It's of a higher potency of caffeine. It's like super. Caffeine on steroids. So we would be like wide awake, jumping all around, like, oh my god, it's so delicious. Yeah, we were cracked up on freaking Guarana soda. So they put that in their Coke, and it's got this sweet taste. It's just so, so good. I love it. The Brazilian one was the best, but also like Japan. And they had, like, these different flavor Fantas. Like, they had this green Fanta that was really good. So, if you ever go to Coca-Cola World, definitely go there. And definitely have the time.
I want to try. You sold me.
You have to try it. Okay. Good. All right. Coke 2 to 2002. What the heck? Where was that sold? I'm really curious to know where they sold that. Because I never saw that.
Never, not once.
Do you have a soda that you love that's discontinued now?
Let me think. Well, my favorite all-time soda is Canada Dry Ginger Ale.
Is it really?
Yeah, I love it. So I'm gonna have to say no.
My favorite soda is Pepsi, and that's not discontinued, so boom. But I did like, Fresca. I don't know if they still make Fresca, but I can't find it.
I think they do still make Fresca.
Oh my gosh, I love Fresca. But then, no, you know what it was? They stopped making regular Fresca, and then all Fresca was Diet Fresca.
I thought Fresca was always diet.
I don't remember it always being diet. I just remember one time I tasted it, and I was like, this is not the Fresca that I know.
Oh, because it's made with, like, Equal or something like that, right?
Yeah, but I feel like, and I could be making a false memory, somebody check me if I'm wrong. But I feel like there was regular Fresca and then Diet Fresca, and then they just stopped making regular Fresca, and it was Diet Fresca. And that was, like, their thing. Like, ooh, all Fresca is Diet Fresca with Equal. And I was like, this is gross. I hate it. But I did used to like Fresca. Let me see. However, Ting is a good replacement. I love Ting.
I don't know about Ting.
Oh, yeah. It's a Jamaican soda.
Oh, okay.
Jamaican grapefruit soda. It's really good. I had it one time. I've had it before I went to Jamaica, but I went to Jamaica and I forgot the name of what they call the drink, but it was just Ting and rum, and it was so good. I was like, this is the most refreshing beverage I've ever had. And it was like, we took the shuttle from the airport, and they stopped at this little, you know, food stand, and they hand out this drink for free. So you get free Appleton rum and Ting. That's what it was. I don't remember what they called the drink, but they were just giving it out. You didn't even have to. I was like, you know what? Welcome to damn Jamaica, okay? Because this is great. And we were drunk off of those three drinks that they gave us.
Wow.
It was great. Yeah. Ting is a grapefruit soda. It's so good. And it tastes really good with Appleton Jamaican rum. It's phenomenal. That's another beverage that you guys should try. Even though that's not the beverage of today. But if ever you are in need of a refreshing beverage for the summer, definitely have some Ting and some rum. It's good. Very good. Moving on.
Yeah. We know it's summertime. So yeah. Hopefully y'all ain't got no school, no summer classes, no none of that, because it is TV time.
Yes, it's TV time. It's
best time of the year.
Yeah. So I have something for you guys. Now, I know that Ari is the YouTube queen. However, I have a show that I watch on YouTube, and it's Snoop Dogg's show, and it's the GGN News show with Snoop Dogg, a.k.a. Finding Nemo, a.k.a. Nemo Hoes. And so it's like, it's sort of like a late night talk show type thing where he has guests on and he interviews them. And if you subscribe to Westfest TV, there's loads of episodes. He's interviewed Seth Rogen. He's interviewed Jimmy Kimmel. He's interviewed, you know, Corrupt. He's interviewed a whole bunch of people. Method Man was on there. And it is funny. It's hilarious. And he's just sitting at his desk with the guy to his right. And they're smoking blunts, talking about music, talking about sex, talking about current events. And it's just really funny. And I will have to say that Snoop is one of my favorite rap artists. And the thing I really like about him, or the reason why I like him so much, is because when he first came out, I was telling Ari this, when he first came out, he seemed so timid and so camera shy. You would have never thought that he had so much personality and was going to be so fun. And I'm just really happy that he, you know, grew out of, you know, being camera shy. And I remember he had this show on MTV. I can't remember the name of the show now. But
oh, yeah. I remember it. Because that's what I was thinking of. It will come on, like, really late, right? Like,
and that show used to have me rolling. It was like a variety show.
Yeah.
And
that was when he had his permed hair.
Yes. And it used to crack me up. And so one time, he was like interviewing some little kid at a jungle gym and on the bar, the monkey bars or whatever. And like the little kid farted in his face. It was hilarious. He just took it in stride and just kept on going and interviewing the kid. But so just recently I was watching his interview with Riff Raff, a.k.a. Jody High Roller. And I don't know if you guys know him, but he's the Tiptoeing in My Jordans artist. And that episode had me cracking up. You guys definitely need to check it out. The episodes are about 16 to 20 minutes, and it comes on every Tuesday. So it's once a week, every Tuesday, new episodes come out. The latest one he has is with a new rapper, which I think is a comedian. I can't tell. A rapper named Young Liar, and that episode was absolutely hilarious. So yeah, definitely check it out. And I told Ari about it, and she watched it too, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And what did you watch?
I watched the one with Seth Rogen, and it's so funny because like it started out with Seth Rogen has a very distinctive laugh, and it started out with him laughing for like a minute, but it was like they cut different points in the show where he was just laughing, and it sounded kind of obnoxious, but it was funny at the same time. It was a good interview. Like, you learned, I felt like Snoop ain't asked no questions.
Really?
But yeah, I don't know, he did ask questions, but like, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was because I was up late, because I was watching it at damn near 3 a.m.
Oh,
but I felt like he wasn't really asking questions, but Seth Rogen gave a lot of answers.
Okay.
And it wasn't a bad interview whatsoever, because I saw him and I heard him ask questions, but it was like, maybe just because of the way it flowed, it didn't really seem like he did much. It was just like a natural conversation.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, that's how most of them are. Most of them are just natural conversation. However, he does something at the end, and I don't know if he does it with every person, but he does something at the end. It's like, if you could bring back one rapper, or if you could be on a song with one rapper, dead or alive, who would it be? What's your favorite position? Those kind of questions, like, towards the end. But usually, for the first, 10 to 12 minutes, it really is just natural conversation, where they're just talking. I mean, and he'll ask a question here and there, just to, keep him engaged. But it's not like, it's kind of like, any other late night talk show, where they just kind of seem like they're having a conversation, just old pals.
Right, but... Yeah. But on, like, the network talk shows, it still seems a little forced. Like, they're telling this story that they've already heard, like, to the talk show host. And then, tell me about that story that you told me, back in the green room. Like, what? Like, I just told you this story. I don't want to tell it again.
Yeah, and then with Snoop, most of the people that he has on the show are people that he's, some kind of, relationship with, like, he knows them, they've been on TV shows together, they did a movie together, something like that, where that's what it seems like to me. Most of the people that he's had on who agreed to come on, it's not like somebody who he doesn't give a kick about and wants to know more about them. He actually has on like his friends or people that he thinks are really cool, and he has them on the show. And right. So I mean, that's what I like about it. It's pretty cool. If you guys like Snoop Dogg, definitely check it out.
Who doesn't like Snoop Dogg?
Right.
Now that he's not calling himself Snoop Lion anymore.
Did he stop that?
Yeah, girl.
Okay, good. I'm glad. So, yeah, definitely check it out. Subscribe on YouTube, Westfest TV, GGN News, with Snoop Dogg, a.k.a. Finding Nemo, a.k.a. Nemo Hoes.
All right, so what I have, it's not necessarily TV, but the person that we're going to talk about has been on TV, and they have a TV show, and it's Kim Kardashian, because I've been playing the Kim Kardashian Hollywood game, and I'm slightly ashamed, but hey, I'm admitting it. I don't know. I just want to talk about it because it's a fun game, and I'm playing it. And I feel slightly awful. About it.
You feel slightly awful about playing the game?
Yeah.
Why?
I do. Because, like, is her life really like this? Okay, pretty much the premise of the game is you're working in a boutique, right? You close up for the night, and lo and behold, when you step outside, it's Kim Kardashian, and she needs a dress for her event that's happening in a couple hours. So what do? Do you lock up the shop, or do you let in Kim Kardashian? You choose your fate, choose your own adventure. So, because she's Kim Kardashian, you let her in, and she's super grateful. And she's like, oh my gosh, Bible, I'm going to invite you to this photo shoot that I'm having tonight. Lo and behold, the photo shoot is for you.
Wow.
How does this happen? I don't know, but... What happens is you pretty much just rise to fame. You start out on the E-list and you have to work yourself up to the A-list. Right now I'm on the cusp of becoming B, so you can't tell me nothing. But it's not really fun. I still don't know why I'm playing it. I think right now at this point I just want to get to the A-list. But yeah, this game is killing it. It's making over $200 million so far.
Wow.
I believe, because you can buy, like, you can buy, it has those in-app purchases and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So people are gobbling it up. And everyone's playing it at my job. And I think everyone was ashamed to say they were.
Someone on my timeline is already an A-lister.
Mm-hmm.
They tweeted it and they were like, I'm an A-lister on Kim Kardashian's game. Come and join me. And I'm like, what? From what I hear, it's not an easy feat to become an A-lister. So
here's the thing that doesn't make it easy. It's not that it's not easy because there's really not much to this game. It's just a whole bunch of clicking and pressing, like, oh, pose and smile and talk and flirt. Like, you go on dates. Like, you play your... You're Kim Kardashian. You just don't look like her. But the thing is that, like, she does photo shoots and she does commercials. And these things have to be done in real time. So, for certain gigs that come about or certain bookings or whatever, it'll say, like, you're gonna get a call in 8 hours. If you don't make that call in 8 hours, you don't get that job anymore.
Whoa.
Yeah. I missed my birthday party because I didn't make the call.
Dang.
Kim Kardashian was at my birthday party and I wasn't there.
And you weren't at your own birthday party. That's sad.
I wasn't there. So, yeah. I'm not really, like, into mobile games like that. Like, I used to be only really into, like, Tetris or whatever the mobile version of it was called, and that Bubble Blaster game. Like, I'm not really into mobile games like that, so I definitely have given this a shot. And yeah
everybody's playing it. I'm not. I have enough stress in my life trying to figure out what I'm going to do and what I'm going to wear, what party I'm going to be at, and who I'm going to go on a date with in my real life. I don't need any more added stress. I don't.
And so, what's really funny about it is you can go on dates with guys, right? And when you go on the date, they've, like, really analyzed your outfit. Like, I've been on several dates in this game. And my date has been like, oh, she said, I'm not feeling what you're wearing.
Dang.
Pretty much. Until I put on this other outfit the other day, and he was like, oh my gosh, I love, I'm like, what? Don't do this. I feel away about all of this.
Yeah.
So. I feel away.
How dare you.
But yeah. I want to know who else has played the Kim Kardashian game. Because if it's generating over $200 million, and that was just within, like, the first couple weeks, I know I'm not alone. So, for those out there who have played this game, what have been your findings? Tell us, email us, catnaps.ancognac@gmail.com, or you can tweet us, catnaps, the letter N, cognac, and let us know what's going on.
Yeah, we want to hear about you guys and what... And your dates and your outfits. And did you go to your birthday party?
Or what other mobile games you guys are playing.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Because I do like mobile games. I do like mobile games for sure. But with the ones where you get, like, where you're simulating someone or you have to do something like Bakery Story or Restaurant Story or stuff like that, like, I start to get annoyed because I'm like, I have to check this shit every freaking 5 minutes. And send gifts to people and go to other people's stores and buy shit. Like, I don't have time for this. I like it at first, and then, like, I'm just like, okay, I'm kind of bored. I don't want to go to anybody's store. I don't want to clean up. I don't want to cook anything. And the only way I can speed up cooking whatever I got to cook is if I use my money, my real money. And I'm not going to use my real money just to speed up cooking for these ingrate ass people coming into my restaurant.
Right. No.
So when it comes to, like, simulated games like that, like, I can't do it. However, I do love a good puzzle game. Mostly puzzles and card games. And when I say puzzles, I'm talking about, like, you know, Sudoku and Tetris, like, things like that kind of stuff. Or connect the dots or whatever, just dots, like, stuff like that. I love those kind of games. When it comes to mobile games.
Like I said, I've never, like, really been too into mobile games. But I'm just trying to make the A-list. I'm trying. I have almost 500,000 fans.
Wow.
Yeah.
So like, I think that's probably the thing that's catching you is because you want to make it to the A-list, which is good. Once you have a goal that you want to reach, that's what will keep the people playing the game. Like with Restaurant Story, or Bakery Story, the real, like, only thing was, like, to get a bigger bakery and whatever. And it's not like there's, like, an end goal or anything like that. It's just, like, keep buying crap and keep buying tables and chairs and having people come to your restaurant. Like, okay, great. And then you look down the line and it's like, oh, when you get to level 2,500, you can have a steak. Like, what?
What? I gotta make
this crazy. Well, this is hyperbole, but still, it's like, it takes forever to get to the stage where you can get the good food and get the good money. Unless you use real money. And I am not doing that. Not for no mobile game. Not for any game, actually. So, yeah. But I do love. Oh, look, I'm yawning. Look, you got two more and then I'm going to sleep.
No!
Got two more and then it's bedtime. But yeah, so tell us about your games. We definitely want to hear what you guys are playing. And if you guys are playing the Kim Kardashian game, we want to hear about your woes.
Please.
Yeah, because the stories that I've heard about this game are hilarious.
Yeah.
Crack me up.
There's an enemy as well. Her name is Willow Pape, and she's a bitch.
Willow Pape?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's the name of somebody real.
Probably. It's probably a code for Paris Hilton.
Oh my gosh, Willow Pape. That name sounds so familiar.
Nah.
No, it does. I feel like it was on, what's the name of that show? Scandal.
Oh, I don't know.
I feel like there's a character with that last name, Pape, down there. But who cares? Anywho.
Wait a second, I just Googled Willow Pape. And there is the title of an article that says, is Willow Pape based on a real person, Paris Hilton? What?
Whoa.
I knew it.
Wait, is she or not?
I'm not clicking on it. I don't need to know that bad.
Well, so we are going to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And our next segment is the Hey Good Looking segment.
Ooh.
So, I'm going to let Ari tell you guys a little bit more about it, about a tip that she found for lipsticks. This is for the ladies. Sorry, fellas, if you don't want to hear about this. Or maybe you might want to listen and then, find a tactful way to tell your girl about a tip that you heard about lipstick.
Possibly, if you can. Yes. I don't know.
If you can. I don't know how manly that would sound.
You could just tell her to listen to our podcast, and that's fine.
Okay. There you go. Boom.
So, finding lipsticks is hard. Finding a lipstick that's the shade for you is extremely hard, especially when you are dark-skinned like we are.
Right.
So, one of the ways to make pretty much any shade work for you, and I found this trick on YouTube, and it definitely works, is you need to find a lip liner that's pretty much your color, like your shade, and you fill in your whole lip with the lip liner, and then you put your lipstick over it, and that would make the shade pretty much work for you. And I feel like this is a foolproof trick. It really, really works. Like, you can wear nudes, pinks, bright colors, like anything, and it'll really match your tone.
Yeah, so I tried it, and...
Were you skeptical?
I was skeptical.
No, were you skeptical?
Skeptical? No, I wasn't skeptical.
Okay.
I heard it was a tip, and so I tried it, and see how it was going to work. So, I wanted to try this nice, bright pink lipstick. And so I went to Rite Aid, got the lipstick, got the lip liner, and I did the whole lip liner thing, and it looked really good. And, or to myself, I thought in my head, I was like, oh, this does look good. I like the way it looks. So I went out, and I was out about on the street, and I had a guy compliment me on my lipstick. A guy was like, I love your lipstick. I was like, ooh, thank you. This tip gets two thumbs up from Dee Dee.
Woo-hoo!
Because it definitely worked. And then I tried it again later on that night with a different shade. It was like this nice coral color that I tried. And it looked really good. But these were all pinks. So I'm not sure how it would work with like an aqua or with, you know, something green or something like that. Like I would be worried that that the brown lip liner would probably make it look more brown than green or blue or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's left to be seen. However, it works very well with the pink and the coral lipstick.
There we go.
Yeah. So definitely, ladies, give it a try. If you're, because I mean, you know, even though we can be dark skin or whatever, or light skin or whatever, like a light skin person can have, you know, brown undertones or pink undertones. Just the same way, like, a dark-skinned person can also have yellow undertones, brown undertones, or pink undertones.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, myself, I have pink undertones. So, but sometimes the pinks that I have, they'll kind of, like, wash me out. And because they don't have that brown hue, it's more of a, their undertone is more white than it is brown. And so it washes me out. So adding that brown lip liner really helped. To make it match my hue and make it not make me not look like a complete idiot.
Right.
Yeah. Because I know how y'all are, how y'all don't like people wearing shades that are quote unquote not suitable for them. But with this trick, I think that any shade can be suitable for you.
Yeah. You just have to find the right lip liner.
Right. Definitely have to find the right lip liner.
And it's easier finding a lip liner in getting the wrong lip liner versus getting the wrong lipstick.
Yes, yes, yes. Because lip liner is only 99 cents.
Right. My lip liner's from Wet n Wild.
Yeah. They're 99 cents. However, lipsticks are not so much. I mean, there's lipsticks that are 99 cents too. Those are Wet n Wild, but they don't last very long. But let's just say you wanted to buy, like, you know, Lime Crime or Rimmel or, you know, Maybelline or even Kish Kaor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to buy those colors because they have some very nice, vibrant colors. But you're worried that it may not necessarily look good on you because of this, you know, the tone of your skin. Because for the most part, these lipsticks are always modeled on people with pretty fair skin.
Yeah.
And so you're not even able to tell how it's going to look on you. And even still, even on some of those fair skinned people, it doesn't really look good on them because their undertones don't match the undertones in the lipstick. So like I said, I think this tip is great. It definitely, definitely works for pinks and peaches and corals and reds. I can't say about blues and purples and greens yet. But maybe one day I'll get some blue lipstick and we'll see.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep. Whoop, whoop. Does that mean it's cocktail time?
It is. Stevie, what is our drink?
All right. Well, our drink of the week is lip service. So here's what you're going to need to make this drink. You're going to need 1 cup of brewed iced tea, 1.5 ounces of tequila, 1 ounce of triple sec, 1.5 ounces of fresh squeezed lime juice, and 1.5 ounces of fresh squeezed lemon juice, and 1/4 cup of simple syrup. Now, if you have been listening to the show, I'm sure you know by now how to make simple syrup. And if you don't, we're not going to say it again. Just go to the page. Go to catnapsandcognac.podbean.com, and you can see how to make simple syrup. So you're going to wet the rim of the glass with the lime wedge, and dip it in sugar until the rim is coated. Then you're going to mix the tea, tequila, triple sec, lemon juice, and simple syrup into the glass, add some ice and fresh fruit, and then garnish with a lime wedge before serving. And voila! You have the lip service.
Voila.
Voila. Magic.
And we all know how people get when they get the tequila in the system. I'm sure plenty of lip service will be going around.
No, that's right. Oh my God. Three is on a roll today.
Whoa. Did I do that?
You did. Oh, well, is that our show?
That's our show.
That is our show. Well, Arnie, where can we find you?
You can find me on the Twitter and the Instagram at Ariel Cherie. What about you, Dee Dee?
You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lucky Stars, LuckyStarz. You can find us, the show, on Twitter, Catnaps, the letter N, Cognac. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/catnapsandcognac. You can send us an email at catnaps.andcognac@gmail.com. We do segments such as Grind Our Gears. We also do Ask R&Ds. And also, if you ever have any beauty tips or anything like that, send them on over to us, and we would love to share them on the air. We are available on iTunes, so just search Catnaps and Cognac. And we're also on the Spreaker Network, and you can search Catnaps and Cognac and find our episodes there. Please don't forget to like our page on Facebook, and also rate us and leave us comments on iTunes. We really appreciate that.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. So I think that's it.
That's our show. Oh my gosh, guys. Bye.
Somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky ass shit like every single day. May I kick a little something for the G's and make a few ends as I breeze through. 2 in the morning and the party still jumping cause my mama ain't home. I got bitches in the living room getting it on and they ain't leaving till 6 in the morning. So what you wanna do? Shit, I got a pocket full of rubber.